And now the game where we ask famous people about obscure things called Not My Job. 10 years ago, John Cena was living in his car in Venice Beach, California. Today, he's one of the biggest stars in professional wrestling. He's a rapper, and his second action movie, 12 Rounds, is set to open nationwide in just a couple of weeks. All right, it's all pretty cool. But today, ladies and gentlemen, today John Cena does something really impressive. He makes his debut on public radio. John Cena, welcome to Wait, Wait.
The most intense day of my life.
It really
Thank
is.
Thank you very much.
All of the enormous physical altercations you've had to this point, really just getting you ready for this day.
Yes, just footnotes, just preparing for this moment right now.
Exactly. I wanted to ask about this, that it is true that you just, when you got out of school in Massachusetts, you just said, I'm going to go to Hollywood and find my fortune. You ended up sleeping in a car. Is that right?
Well, I didn't even say I'm going to go to Hollywood and find my fortune. My old man told me I wouldn't make it living out west, and I had no ambition or know anything. I just wanted to move out there and prove him wrong. I ended up in Venice Beach working at Gold's Gym from pretty much open to close from 4 a.m. to midnight. I had no aspirations to be an actor or a wrestler. I was literally working at the gym every hour it was open, so I became the unofficial mayor of the place. And one of the members just casually told me that he was training to be a professional wrestler and wanted to see if I wanted to give it a try. And when I heard there was a school you could actually go to train to be a wrestler, I was all in, and,
really?
And the rest is history.
So some guy came up to you and said, hey, do you want to... I was hoping it would be something more exciting, like you were just standing there, somebody broke a folding chair over your head, you fought back, and the next thing you know...
So climbed a ladder, fell through a table, and what do you know, I was in the middle of a wrestling ring.
Now, you rose through the various ranks, I know, in the various circuits until you became, if I've got it right, the longest reigning champion in the WWE, right?
Yeah, I really don't like to rest on my resume, but that's a good one to have, I guess. I was thinking of my debut on public radio as the most important moment of my life. But.
Well, that'll be what you brag about from now on. But today, what if you can brag a little bit about yourself, what separates the superstars from the WWE from everybody else in the circuit? What do people respond to you?
They just are. We're in the business of telling stories. We're in the business of entertaining our fans. And you really have to identify with the audience on a certain level. And in the beginning of my career, I identified with them through hip-hop as a medium. I was the thuggish white rapper from West Newbury, which was a very hated character. And I kind of used that initial identification and month by month, year by year, kind of whittled it away into being myself.
So you actually modeled your initial persona in the ring on Vanilla Ice?
Yes, absolutely.
And you were like...
Absolutely, because I they wanted me to start rapping on the program,
right.
And I figured who's more hated than Vanilla Ice, besides the time Kevin Federline.
So you've been, and I'm proud of myself because I learned some wrestling talk. You've been both a heel and a face. You've been a hero.
Yeah, which to the newbies is I've been both a bad guy and a good guy.
Which mm-hmm. do you enjoy more?
You know what? They're equally as rewarding. It's a lot tougher to be a good guy because our fans are very, very fickle.
Really? So you have to constantly go out there and keep their loyalty and keep their affection.
Yes, and it really takes a long, long time of really proving yourself out there to become a liked personality on our show.
I was reading today about some of the storylines in the WWE that you've been involved in, the rivalries and the feuds. They're incredibly complicated. They make a soap opera look like nothing. There are all these things going on. Who comes up with those storylines? Who decides that today your enemy is going to be this character and this guy is going to help you and then it'll be find out that you're this person's illegitimate son? I mean, do you do that? Do you say, I'm going to hate
no,
you?
No, no. We have an entire creative staff that keeps track of the program in a grid-type format. So very similar to the way you'd write syndicated television.
Right. So they're keeping track of, oh, you're allied with this person and you have a feud with that person and then you're going to work your way to a climactic battle here. It's tremendously exciting. But you guys are all, I assume, since you're working together, you're actually all pals, the people you supposedly hate. You hang on.
There is a sense of camaraderie, which actually Mickey Rourke, who just recently did the film The Wrestler, kind of touched on in all of his media. He was very surprised at the camaraderie between all the superstars. But at the same time, you know, it is a business, and the more successful and the more main event matches you are put in, the more successful you'll be. So there is a very, very thick sense of competition as well.
Right. Well, speaking of that, your second movie is coming out. This is actually a movie produced by WWE. The first movie was The Marine. The second movie is 12 Rounds, coming out soon. No flattery intended, you handle yourself really well in this movie as an actor. And I'm guessing that the transition wasn't that hard because you're performing to begin with, right?
Yeah, it's basically what we're doing is more of a like a Broadway scenario or a live theater scenario, and you just gotta know when to calm it down when you're filming a movie. I mean, your face is a lot larger on screen, and the most minute movements can mean, right, you know, worlds of difference. So you just gotta. It's basically an actor's transition from Broadway to the big screen.
I've never thought of it that way, and I think it's totally great. In the first movie, The Marine, you were a guy, I believe some bad guys either kidnapped your girlfriend, and
yep,
you taught them a lesson. In the new movie, you're a Louisiana cop, some bad guys kidnap your girlfriend.
I'm going to teach them a lesson.
Yeah, I know. Do you think that by the next movie, they will know not to mess with your girlfriend? Do you think this will sink in by then?
Let's hope so. I mean, you got to go with what got you to the dance. If somebody takes my girlfriend, they're certainly going to be taught a lesson.
Right. I think we know that now. You seem, more than most people I talk to be having an awful lot of fun in your life, in your professional career. Is there anything about being a pro wrestler that you don't like, that's hard?
The travel's a bit iffy. We do 250 live events a year in a different city every night, and we're on syndicated television in 180 countries, so we do tour the globe. If I could have a perfect scenario, every show would be at home, but it is a dream job, so I guess I got to complain about something, but the travel's a bit iffy.
I'm surprised that when I asked you about something you didn't like, you didn't mention the large men jumping on your head.
Well, I'm usually moving out of the way and teaching them a lesson because 90% of the time they did something to my girlfriend.
That's it. You're just teaching people lessons about your girlfriend.
An educator.
Is there a whole lesson plan that goes with these movies? I'm imagining a curricular guide to go with them.
That'd be a great catchphrase. You know, just like, can you smell what The Rock is cooking? You can be, do you know what John Cena has in his curriculum? A syllabus of pain, ladies and gentlemen. Well, John Cena, we have asked you here to play a game that we're calling...
Sure. Pro wrestling is a good gig, but when you win, do they throw teddy bears into the ring?
No, they don't. That's my guess, anyway. They don't, do they? Generally?
No, they don't.
That's a custom, of course, reserved for the wonderful princes and princesses of figure skating. So like everyone, like everything else, like pro wrestling, I guess, figure skating has its own lingo. So we're going to ask you, John Cena, three questions about the language of figure skating. Answer two questions correctly, you win a prize from one of our listeners, Carl's voice, on their home answering machine. Carl, who is wrestler and actor John Cena playing for?
John is playing for Ken Sutton of Heron, Illinois.
Ready to go?
Let's do this.
Oh, man.
This is my defining moment of my life. Let's do this.
You've heard, no doubt, of the sow cow and the triple axle, but there are other more obscure moves a figure skater might try in the ice, including which of these? A, the flutz, B, the Cohen, or C, the backstab?
I would go with B.
You're going to go with B, the Cohen?
Yes.
It sounds good, but it is, in fact, the flutz.
Oh, no.
The flutz. The flutz is... it's a combination of a lutz and a flip. It's kind of a cheated lutz. All right, now,
no.
You have two more questions. You have to get both these right to win. So just to focus your attention.
I got to bat 1,000. I just want
to focus your attention. I want you to imagine that Carl Castle here has kidnapped your girlfriend.
I'm about to teach somebody a lesson.
You are.
Yes. Watch it.
Somebody's going to pay. Fortunately, you're on the phone. All right, here we go. Things get a little more complicated in the related sport of ice dancing. That's where the pair of skaters might be seen doing which of these? A, the flying kiss back, B, synchronized twizzles, or C, Zimmer cutouts?
I really like the synchronized twizzles.
You do?
I know B. Yeah, I'm going to go with B.
You're going to go with B, the synchronized twizzles. You're right.
Yeah, you guys synchronized.
Synchronized twizzles.
Yeah.
A twizzle.
A kid's still alive.
You're still alive. A twizzle is a kind of moving turn, and if you do them together at the same time with your partner, you've synchronized your twizzles. Now, this is exciting, because just like in pro wrestling, you've built up to suspense and a climax. We have done that here. Get this last question right. You will win it all.
Sometimes, the big finish.
I know. It's great. Uh-oh. He's picking up a folding chair. Sometimes... Sometimes you'll see a figure skater bend one leg, almost sitting on the ice while sticking the other leg out.
I love that.
Front. Mo likes this. So you're skating along, you're sitting on one leg out. This position is called A, the Russian haunch, B, shoot the duck, or C, the keister freezer.
C sounds attractive, but I'm going to go with the Russian haunch.
Haunch. No, I am afraid the correct answer was B, shoot the duck.
Oh, my goodness. Why would they do that to
I don't know. I don't know why they call it shoot the duck, but they do. They call it shoot the duck. Carl, how did John Cena do in our quiz?
John had just one correct answer, Peter, and he needed two to win for Ken Sutton.
This is not a problem. You know why? Because judging from your movies, you'll have another girlfriend soon. I think it'll happen.
So you're saying public radio is the only one that did mess with this
girlfriend? There you go. There you go. Ha-ha.
Ha-ha. By the way, has there ever been, I mean, do you see a future in sort of in combining pro wrestling with figure skating? Or
I think that would certainly be a recipe for disaster.
I think that'd be
terrible. I guess it's called hockey.
Yes. John Cena is one of the great stars of World Wrestling Entertainment. He's also an action hero in the movies. He stars in the new movie 12 Rounds. It opens nationwide March 27th. John Cena, you're a gentleman, you're a scholar. Thank you so much for being with us today.
I appreciate it, really.
Great to have you.